NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, we've reached our official one-year anniversary as a show. Everybody said we couldn't do it. We did it. We proved them wrong, all the haters. And we're hitting 1 year just as teams are gearing up for the postseason. We will discuss some of the generational bigs currently battling for positioning in the MVP race, eventual awards, with 11-year NBA vet, current Bucks color analyst Marcus Johnson on today's episode. I'm Jack O'Brien.
And I'm Jabari David.
And this is Miles and or Jack Got Mad Boosties.
Three on one. Davis, love, LeBron!
There you go.
Embiid driving, spinning, fading, hitting!
Curry, a three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry from downtown again!
Giannis with the take. Uh-oh, look out. No showtime. What you got, Giannis?
That's right. The next time you hear this show next week, Miles should be back from paternity, and I will be gone. This is not like Love Below speaker box situation. My kid's spring break just lines up with the end of paternity leave, but you can start spreading the rumors. But Marcus Johnson, thank you so much for joining us on our 1 year anniversary show. Big fan of your work, big fan of just your career, big fan of Raymond from White Men Can't Jump. We were rewatching scenes today and wondering how the hell you are not a famous action star right now. I have to assume that is by your choice or the director's just messed up because, yeah. Man, you are great on camera. But thank you for joining us.
Hey, man, look, I'm honored to be a part of this 1 year anniversary show, Mad Boosties. I love the name. And so thanks for having me. And yeah, you know, we had a good time doing the movie. I did some other stuff after that, but nothing ever approached the popularity of that character, Raymond Dickens, based on a true story about a guy by the name of Reggie Harding, who was one of the first high school to pros players from the Detroit area back in the early 60s. So a whole lot of in-depth background about that character that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah. I think I read that you have worked on a screenplay about the
screenplay. And look, just the research was fascinating. I talked to everybody from Dave Bing to Bob Lanier to some guys from the ABA days, Freddie Lewis, a guy from the old Midwestern League by the name of MC Burton, who's actually a doctor now, was in med school when he played basketball in the Midwestern League, which is a semi-pro league back in the day. Ray Scott was the first African-American to be coach of the year in the NBA in the mid-70s with the Pistons. He was a teammate of Reggie Harding. Yeah. You know, so it was just fascinating doing the research and talking to all these guys about the history of the league. And Rod Thorne was another guy who was a teammate of Reggie's. And then this character, wow, Reggie, yeah, Harding, and, you know, heroin and the siren call of the streets were his undoing. But he was given a business to both Wilt and Bill Russell, man, back in the day. Oh. Red Auerbach said he would be one of the top, you know, five centers in a couple of years, right when he came out of high school and got to the NBA. But unfortunately, the drug addiction, the heroin, and the lure of the streets, the pimps, the gangsters, the hustlers, all that stuff,
yeah,
that he idolized, took precedent over his development as a basketball player.
And I think I saw you say that the detail of, you know, your character in White Man Can't Jump, Raymond, sticking people up, but being, you know, so somebody who hangs around there and is like 6'8".
7 feet. He's 7 feet.
Oh, he's a full step.
Yeah, and he was 7 foot.
With a mask on. And they're like, come on, Reggie, not again, man. Not again. Reggie,
you're the not only again. 7 foot person I know.
Right. And Reggie's like, no, this ain't me. This ain't me. This ain't me.
So you really did pull that scene directly from his life.
Yes, they pulled that directly from. That was one of the first folklore tales that they would tell you back in the 70s when you got to the league. They tell you the story about Reggie Harding and the ski mask robbing the liquor store at 7 feet and the, you know, this ain't me. And so that was one of the first things that you heard. And it was funny. Back in the day, it's a funny story, but when you look at the background and do a little bit more digging in terms of his history, it's actually a sad story. He wound up getting shot on the streets of Detroit, I think at about 30 years old, in 1972. And so the same streets that he couldn't get away from that derailed his career wound up leading to his undoing. Spent time in prison, Jackson Prison in Michigan for two or three years for armed robbery and a bunch. He was robbing a bunch of dope houses where he would buy dope. And they got to the point where they got so pissed off at him because they knew it was him, 7 feet with a ski mask, that he came up to a dope house to rob it. And two shotgun blasts hit him in both legs. And he was hospitalized. Just a crazy, crazy life that. Colorful, crazy life that crossed paths with a lot of great, great NBA all-timers. So it's really a fascinating story.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Somebody needs to buy that screenplay post-haste.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's appropriate, like, that you're on our anniversary episode. You are somebody who still can dunk and boost. You know, so you still have the mad boosties that you had in your career. I still have the same ability to dunk that I had in my career, which is none. I was net, but I can still, I think, touch the bottom of the net. In that way, we are similar.
Okay.
Can you talk about that? Like you dunk, is it every year on your birthday you get out there?
And my son Josiah, king of NBA Twitter.
Yes, we should say that.
King Josiah. He brought the idea to me the year that Blake Griffin jumped over the Kia.
I was about
54, 55 years old at the time. And, you know, could dunk really easily back then. And so we got some Matchbox cars or something. I jumped over one to I'm doing the same thing, Blake. I'm going to jump over a car.
Yeah.
And that created a monster. So every year after that, I'm 67 now. So for the last 13 years, every year he's like, come on, Dad, we got to do it. We got to do it. I'm like, Joe, I don't know. I mean, I only dunk once a year on my birthday, around my birthday. I never tried any other time. So I don't know if I can do it or not. And got some hip issues. So this year was a little challenging, but I was able to pull it off and we got it done. So, but next year, I'm not sure. I may have a hip replacement done by that time. So this may have been the last one, but it's been fun. What it does is, man, it keeps me in shape, keeps me working out, gives me something to shoot for, a goal to shoot for, to stay in reasonably good shape at 67 years old. So I work out 6 times a week, 6 days a week. And I mean, nothing, you know, like an hour and 10 minutes, nothing crazy, but just enough to stay in reasonably good shape. So it's been the impetus for that. So that's been a good thing, good positive behind it.
Hey, well, I give you credit because you're doing something at 66 that I wasn't able to do at 36. So
yeah. More power to you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about the current NBA, the purported subject of this podcast. You get an up close and personal look at the Bucks, and I feel like they are a lot of smart people's pick for the title this year. There's actually an interesting conversation happening around Giannis with Isaiah this week. I'm not sure if you saw this.
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, actually, it's from earlier in the year. It was basically it was surrounding the conversation with Giannis, where people were saying he might struggle in the 80s. He would come off the bench in the 80s or 90s or whatnot.
Charles Oakley in particular.
And Zeke, you know, to his credit, I'll paraphrase it. He basically was saying, hey, guys, you guys need to be quiet because he would dominate in the 80s. We've never seen anything like him come into our league. You know, and basically he's one of the quote unquote old heads that definitely shows love. So I'm interested in where do you see him up close and personal? You've seen him, you know, for the bulk of his career, definitely, you know, the great moments. How do you think Giannis would fare?
No, man. I mean, greatness transcends eras, and greats will figure out how to excel in different eras. And that goes both ways. And so, you know, people talk about how we couldn't have played in today's NBA from the 80s and 90s and guys from even 70s. I mean, but the great players would figure things out. With me, they'd like to point to my 3-point field goal percentage. Well, that's why I like cleaning the glass, because they don't count heaves and in the quarter shots and all that. Bulk of my stuff was in the shot clock, in the quarters, those types of threes. And so, you know, but you know, if I'd have worked on a 3-point shot, I'd shoot 37-38%. I know that hands down. But with Giannis, that bugs me. Now people are coming around. Charles Barkley calls him the greatest player on the planet. So that's a definite feather in Giannis's cap to have that happen. I mean, I remember James Harden coming out and saying he wishes he was 7 feet and all he had to do was dunk. Giannis is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And you know, watching him when I first got to the Bucks 8 years ago, he was coming off a season where he averaged about 16 a game, 7-8 rebounds. I didn't know if he would be a solid NBA player for the next 10 years at that time, 18, 19, topping out at that, or would he be an all-star? I certainly didn't think he would be this transcendent player who would be a two-time MVP that would drop a 50 piece in a closeout finals game. I didn't think that. It just didn't look like he was on that trajectory in terms of his skill package, and just didn't look like he was going to be that kind of a guy. But that's where his background, his motivation, his inspiration, his diligence to working out, his desire to be the best. That's where all that comes into play. And I saw that early. I saw him have great games, and I'd see a shadowy figure after he had a great game and we won. Running through a crowd of people at right after the game in 10 degree below weather in Milwaukee. And I'm thinking to myself, who is that crazy brother right there with the t-shirt and the cutoff sweats? What is he doing? Then I look closer, man, that's Giannis. Where the hell is he going? Watch him. He's going to the practice facility across the street to work on his free throws. Wow. And it's genuine. That's just who 40 plus point games. We have a flight to another city that night on a team plane. He's sitting in the back of the plane with Sean Sweeney, the assistant coach at the time for the Bucks, going over film and video in terms of what he could have done better, even though he just dropped 40 points on that opponent that night. That's Giannis. I mean, and so he could have played in any era. He is such a unicorn, is the popular way of describing a guy like him. Think about it. He's 7 feet, 250, so he's strong enough to kind of withstand the pounding back in the day. But he's also got this, his separator is this handle. He's able to get to where he wants to go with his ball handling like no other 7-footer. I'm trying to run my mind through the course of history to think if there's been a 7-footer that could handle like he could. Now, that's also, he's been a product of his era, because it's been encouraged for, and it's the European kind of influence in the NBA and the American game. Big men shooting outside shots. Back in the day, if you were a Jim McDaniels from Western Kentucky who averaged 30 a game in college, you get to the pros, you're soft because you shoot jumpers at 7 feet. My teammate at UCLA, Richard Washington, the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament in 1975, 28 against Louisville, 28 against Kentucky. Great jump shooter, 6'11". He got to the league, you're soft. Get your big ass inside. Pound it inside. That's for the small forwards and guards to shoot the jump shots. So it's a different era, and so there is a more of a premium put on big men, the stretch four that can knock down jumpers. So that helps him. But you know, he just knows how to play, how to score. His finishing is so much better than I've ever seen it before this year. but his ability to handle the ball, to get to his spots, and he studied defenders and knows how to attack angles and body position to draw fouls. And even though he's shooting 65-66% from the free throw line, a lot of guys would back off from getting to the free throw line because of that. He embraces the challenge and gets to the free throw line even more, probably shooting more free throws this season than he's ever shot. So that's his mindset. It's just different, which I think would transcend any era and lead to his success.
You know, as a current Sixers fan and a one-time Ben Simmons fan, like that was something I always admired about Giannis, is there was just no fear, no matter what the last trip to the free throw line was, it didn't enter his mind. He has that like Tom Brady strategically short memory and just, you know, uses it to his advantage.
Yeah, without question.
So bringing it to this era, and I'm taking nothing away from, you know, any area prior to this. I'm not one of those, you know, folks that says, oh, you know, yesteryear's players couldn't play. I would love to see it because I think, I think greatness, it will translate regardless. But
it was the coach's fault. They were the ones telling everyone that a 3-point shot was a terrible shot the whole time. And then they like slowly figured it out and the players got their game up to, now it's just a layup.
Well, but I remember Rick Pitino was the first guy I heard saying, and this is probably mathematically not exactly precise, but Rick Pitino used to say, well, he'd say, you know, a 3-point shot, if shooting, you know, 10 shots and you make 4 threes, you know, or 6, 4 threes is equivalent to 6 twos or whatever. So 40% of twos is like shooting 60% from the 3-point line because of the point value. And that's, you know, that's the first time it kind of registered in my mind that, hey, that's a good point. You don't have to shoot a great field goal percentage. And then effective field goal percentage got introduced. That was in the 90s. We started talking about that when I was with Seattle and Terry Stotts and George Karl. And that was an interesting stat, true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. And the value of that extra, you know, point that you get from the 3-pointer. And now fast forward to today. And now we're shooting with the Bucks like over 40 threes a game. There's a bunch of teams over 40 threes a game, which is just crazy.
Yeah, coming up watching you know, the game in the 80s and 90s, I never anticipated us being here. But to that point, you know, we were told, you know, about 5 years ago or maybe even a decade ago that the big man was gone, that, you know, there was no more great big men or anything or something along those lines. That was the general conversation, which it wasn't even true then. But now you have guys like, obviously, we've been discussing Giannis. You've got Embiid, you've got Jokic, you've got AD, you've got, you know, Miles Turner. There are literally bigs all throughout the league. So I'm going to throw something out there and you can call me crazy. That's okay. I'm usually the crazy man. I think this era of bigs is just as good as it's ever been. Even with the focus of the game, you know, we like to present it as its exterior game or at least outside in as opposed to inside out. But given the range in actual ability of the modern big, I think this crop is just as good as it ever has been.
Well, that's an interesting assertion. And it's almost like you got a bunch of Tim Duncans out there. You know, you got a bunch of mobile, 7-foot, good shooting, not straight back to the basket, can go down there and do some work if they need to. But it's so interesting how so many teams, like the Kings and Sabonis, I mean, they run their offense through these elbow touches. Even Draymond Green, who's not really the prototypical big, but still, you know, he's in their lineup. They run everything through them as the fulcrum for what they do offensively. So I wouldn't, I'm thinking now, I'm just kind of in my mind's eye trying to rattle off all the bigs in recent years and kind of what they did, Kevin Garnett and some of these other guys. When I think of the bigs and I throw Kevin Durant in that equation from sheer size alone, Giannis, Jokic, you mentioned all these names. And, you know, let me tell you, Embiid, one year he was hurt. And I forgot if it was a nasal fracture. I forgot what it was going on with him, but he was out for an extended period. So we're in Philly, and I'm watching his routine before the game. He's not going to play that night. So they're putting him through a real hard, rigorous routine before the game. He knocks down literally like about 12 threes, just coast to coast, dribble down to 1 3-point line, swish. Dribble back down to the other 3-point line at the other end, swish. Dribble back down. It was just amazing watching the accuracy of the and how he shot the ball at his massive 7'2", 290 size.
Yeah.
And the fluidity. You know, he's playing. And I always say these guys at that size, they play like they're 6'6", 6'7". Bobby Portis for us. I mean, the way he shoots and plays and moves, you don't think of him as like 6'10", 250. And that's the difference between now and back in the 80s in my day, and even years after that. Some guy with that size would automatically be pigeonholed and discouraged from expanding his game. Now they actually work on the expansion of your offensive skill package. So that plays a lot into it also.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We only have Marcus for another 10 minutes. So we're going to come back. We're going to get right into the fastest segment in podcasting, the rapid fire round of questioning. So we'll do that first, and then Jabari and I'll stick around and BS a little bit. But we will be right back for rapid fire in Act 2 because it's a special anniversary episode. We'll be right back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Marcus, you just got to give the first thought that comes out of your mouth into your brain.
Oh boy.
Doesn't matter if it's dumb, you know, just whatever. It can be wrong as long as it's fast. And we will be very slow and not fast on our end, but that's okay because that is our prerogative as hosts of this show. But are you ready for the rapid fire round of questioning?
We shall see.
All right. Jabari, do you want to?
All right, start the clock. Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Mark.
The clock has started.
Each year, we spoke to this a little bit earlier, but I have a twist for you. You know how you post a video that, you know, that shows that you can still dunk? And like I said, it's impressive each and every time. Related to that, do you have a favorite dunk of your career, or was there a player that you always wanted to, you know, to meet at the rim that you didn't get a chance to?
Yeah, so anyway, so we're playing against the Lakers. There's a scrum under the basket for the ball. Kareem is right behind me. I bend down, pick the ball up, and off of Vert, jump up in the air. Kareem jumps to block it. I dunk it back.
Like, wow.
It's a reverse dunk on
over Kareem.
Over Kareem. Yes, indeed. And a friend of mine got a great shot of it on a slide that I can't find to save my life. I know it's in my stash somewhere. I got to find that slide because he got it right at the perfect moment. Me about a foot over the rim, Kareem trying to block it and getting ready to reverse jam on it.
All right.
The greats get gotten at times too.
Yes, indeed.
You have the number one pick next year. You're an NBA GM. You have the number one pick. So you basically can draft Victor Wembanyama if you want. And you have just learned that every NBA team is willing to trade you a single player for that number one pick. Do you do it? And if so, who do you choose? I'm verging on saying besides Giannis, because Giannis seems like kind of that's my answer at least. But is there a player besides Giannis that you would trade Wembanyama for straight up?
Embiid.
Yeah,
Joel Embiid. Okay. Joel Embiid, okay. Man. If I could, Giannis and Joel Embiid, all due respect to Brooke Lopez, but man, if I could get Joel Embiid, Brooke's my backup center. I'm sorry, Brooke, but I love you.
I'm sure you would understand.
Yeah, I think he'd be cool with that.
Yeah. All right, keep it going. If you could bet on any fan base, and you see the fans, you see the arenas, you see what they're capable of. But if you could bet on any fan base to make the in-arena challenge shots, that's the layup, the free throw, the three-pointer, and the half-court shot, which fan base would you bet on?
I don't know. The Knicks. I don't know why. Don't ask me what. Knicks always have been a team that whose fans are knowledgeable. So I would hope that some of that knowledge would extend to some skills, you know what I mean? So
that translates to the in-arena challenge. Yeah.
So I've always loved playing for the Knicks. Funny story with the Knicks. I know this is the speed round, but when I first learned about gambling, I think we were up by a certain amount of points, and the Knicks scored to cut it to three, and the crowd just erupted. And I told Ernie Grunfeld, it's like 2 seconds on the clock. They're losing. Why are they cheering? He's like, the point spread was four or something. You know?
Right.
Like, oh, got it.
Just a bunch of people run into the OTB immediately after the game.
Happy, man.
Happy. New York. Best city in the world. All right. What's the best NBA city based solely on the food?
Oh, man. Best NBA city based solely on the food would have to be Chicago's kind of tough to beat.
Oh, okay.
Chicago.
We've been to some really, they do a thing called break bread nights with the Bucks, where the team has these team dinners, and I've been fortunate enough to get in on a couple of them, and Chicago is always outstanding in terms of the restaurants that they choose.
All right, so this one is appropriate because, like your boosties, I'm also jealous of your crisp hairline at your age. So, Jalen Rose recently said that men should be spending a minimum of $100 on a haircut. And, you know, while that might be a little bit steep for, you know, my taste as a podcaster, what is the single item or routine maintenance that you're willing to pay top dollar for?
I gave my barber 60 yesterday. You know, I used to give him 50, okay. But he kind of fit me in with the crowd in the mid-afternoon. And, I didn't want to ask him for $10 change, so I just left him with 60. So, and that's a lot. You know, back in my day, 10, 20, I was paying my son Mariah to cut my hair $20 a shot. Now he's charging 40. So, but 50, so 50, 60 is kind of like my limit.
I remember being able to go to the shop with $15 and leave a tip. With that extra.
Yeah, no more. They look at you like you're crazy now.
One quick follow-up. Is Jalen's hairline too good to be true?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Dave Rose's hairline. I've heard some stories, but I think his sister came out and said a couple of things about it. But whatever it is, Jalen Rose is one of the all-time classiest guys I've ever been around. Yeah. What he's doing in Detroit. And every time I see him, just on a personal level, it's just great interaction. We talk about Kyrie and his situation. We talk about real stuff, and he keeps it real. And just, I just love Jalen Rose to death. And during the All-Star game in Oakland back in the early 2000s, I think the Vince Carter dunk All-Star game, they wouldn't let me in the players' party. They gave me a hard time about getting in. All of a sudden, Jalen shows up. It's like, hey, this dude's a legend. Come on, legend. You wouldn't be.
And
walk me right on in, you know.
That's so cool.
I love him for the rest of my life. I had about three or four ladies with me, and that made it even sweeter.
Good time.
Whatever he's doing with the hairline works. I think it's a work of art. All right. You can take any former Milwaukee Buck and pair him with Giannis. Which former player would you like to see him play with?
Oh, man. Kareem. Hey, I mean, that's Kareem is obvious.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah, Kareem is obvious.
Fair. That's not fair, but yeah, that is the right answer.
You know, I was in Oscar, but Oscar was kind of past his prime at that time. You know, Ray Allen, I think, would be a good pairing, but Ray kind of came into his own post-Milwaukee days with the Celtics and then with Miami. But, you know, some good options there.
All right, last question, and this is probably the most important. So, are you ready? I want to make sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Jack or Jabari?
Jabari.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Straight to the point.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I get it.
He knows our people.
You know, usually with most guests, it doesn't completely devastate me, but I'm not going to lie. This one hurts.
But here's Jack. Here's the reason why. Because I just did a interview for a documentary they're doing on Giannis and did a Kumpo for an hour or so. But in the course of my research for that interview, I looked at Giannis's scoring stats from 1 year, and Jabari Parker averaged 20 points a game that year. The year he hurt his knee, averaged 20. Yeah. This kind of made me sad. You know what I mean? In terms of what it could have been. So that name Jabari was fresh on my mind. So I think it was more of a knee jerk than anything to do with quality.
I'll send you some Jack Sikma stats a little bit later on.
I'll take that Simply Vote right here. Thank you very much.
It's all good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing the show. Truly a legend. Jalen Rose was right. This has been a blast. Where can people find you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, old school, 888, I think. Instagram, the same thing. And, you know, on League Pass, watch some Buck games and check us out this year. I think this will be our year. I feel really good about our depth. We got some of the deepest lineup in the league in terms of shooting. I was having a conversation with Steve Novak yesterday about, is this one of the best all-time shooting teams 1 through 12 in the history of the game? And, and you know, you got to look at that. So that's going to help us.
All right. Well, Marcus Johnson, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
All right, Jack Jabari, thank you.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about some great performances from the week.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And, you know, I've never had to do an entire segment of this show after losing. I've had to go home to the wife and kids with my tail between my legs, but I've never had to actually show up for these fans so they can hear the defeated man that I am for 24 hours after I lose a Jack or Jabari. But
you have to love his ability to play that game and say, like, oh, well, you know what it really was about, Jack? He was on it. He was quick.
Oh, man.
You can tell. Yeah. He's been a dad for many years. Because he made sure.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I actually
like you both equally. I just picked it at random, but please stop crying. It's making me uncomfortable. Brian, please cut that part out where he says, please stop crying. It's making me uncomfortable. And then I bawl and call him dad and say, thanks a lot, dad.
Because
I just think it made him look bad. All right. So we're going to come back with the Mad Boosties' great performances of the week. What a week. The Lakers fans are on the Reeves train. Austin Reeves. I'm hearing, you know, I have a lot of Lakers fans in my life living out in Los Angeles. And I am hearing every time this man puts the ball in the basket from a Lakers fan. You guys are excited about this young man. Speak to it.
You know, I look at it like this. Every fan base is going to be happy about, you know, like a secondary guy. And when I say that, I mean no shade whatsoever, but not necessarily a star or a guy that was expected to carry you at the most important, you know, the most important juncture of your season. And he's done that. You know, he's a reserve guy that has stepped into a role with LeBron being out these last 9 games or so, and he's played incredibly well. From the Lakers, you know, fans, you know, side of things, I do recognize we go overboard, and there's a lot of us, so it seems like we're overdoing it with the love, but it's really just a matter of fans of a struggling fan base that are looking for something to be happy about.
Be under a minute to play. Reeves, here he goes, on its way. Reeves has it again. Austin Reeves, he is clutch right now.
Austin Reeves is taking over the game.
I was going to ask what draft class he was, and he was not drafted. But 2021. Yeah, that's the best. When you just have somebody who you weren't counting on who comes through. He always looks a little bit surprised when he does something awesome on the court. It's a lot of fun.
Did you see that?
Newark zone. And by Newark, I mean Newark, Arkansas.
Yes.
I love when a state in America is just like, yeah, we have Paris, Texas. We're, you know, Cincinnati, Missouri, or like, you know,
Paris,
just,
California.
Yeah. Yeah. All the Parises are out of control. Giannis, I've heard just about enough about this Giannis fellow, but just making it look easy with a 22-13-10. 9 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 1 from deep, win over the Raptors.
Really solid pro career, I think, with Portland, the Timberwolves. But once again, look at this zone. There's a soft spot inside. Take it, Giannis.
Get it to the elbow and work from there.
What more can you say about Giannis? This is, you know, that hasn't already been stated, but really at this stage, it really doesn't matter if he wins the MVP because, again, I'm just reiterating it. He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And he goes out and he proves it on a nightly basis.
I wish the MVP conversation was over because I honestly think it's going to either be Jokic, if people who, you know, are on the majority of NBA writers who have a vote, that was just the default, or it's going to be Giannis. And all the focus on Embiid, and then I don't want Embiid to like wear himself out. I mean, he's been saying all season that, you know, this isn't important. The thing that's important to him is getting to the third round, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So we'll see about that. But I want it to be over, Jabari.
I completely understand that. And I'll be honest with you. I give these guys credit for being able to compartmentalize like that, because I'll be straight up. If I were Embiid, I would be like, nah, this is my year. And I won't win.
Yeah. So
I give him credit. Why not both?
I mean, we might as well talk about Joel Embiid. Became the first Sixers player to score 30 plus in 9 straight games.
I was surprised by that. That was the first time. And that's no shade whatsoever. But for whatever reason, I didn't anticipate that being the first time that it happened.
I mean, I guess we should talk about the MVP conversation, because you had a text to Miles and I. We still have the group text thread going, where you said after one of these 9 straight 30-point games, game-winning shot at the end, I think it might have been the Blazers game, I forget.
I think so.
You said a couple more like that, and he's going to put himself in the MVP conversation. In the conversation. Like, he's not even in... Like, that, most of the conversations I hear include him. They're not like, and maybe if this Embiid kid could put a couple games together, he might be. I think there's people who think he might be in the conversation.
Oh, if you ask a Sixers fan, he's leader of the pack.
Okay, but all right.
Now, jokes aside, that was a little bit tongue in cheek, but really it was kind of what you alluded to earlier, where so much of the conversation has been, okay, it's Jokic or someone else, and, you know, deservedly so, it's been Giannis in that role. But I think Joel Embiid has every opportunity to win this award, you know, as those other two guys.
I think, I'm going to say it definitively, I think he has a shot at the All-Star team.
He might do that. He might be able to make that. You heard of him? Pretty good.
They just need to catch. I mean, with regards to his MVP candidacy, it would be nice for them. I think he has a real shot if they catch Milwaukee.
They already passed Boston.
They need to catch Milwaukee if they want to make it out of the second round, because they're not getting by Boston. At least not Boston with, like, at full strength, which they would be in the second round. So they need to catch Milwaukee. And I'm assuming that's where some of this urgency is coming from, because they're playing at the highest level they've been playing at a time when I feel like a lot of other teams are kind of hitting the doldrums a little bit. They seem pretty locked in.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I'm a Sixers fan, which you know that I'm famously not, but if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm feeling pretty
famously.
Good. I'm feeling pretty good.
I am shocked that they haven't just lost a bunch of games in a row. But as we were looking over the schedule, I was like, here it comes. The Bulls game, which will have already happened, so you'll know if I'm right or wrong, listener. But I was like, the Bulls game, that's the game that they lose, where, like, I'm feeling really good, and then they just drop a bewildering loss on me. But that is, you guys dealt with enough of me being a self-loathing Sixers fan last week, so we'll leave it at that. Shea, still doing it, man.
Jeez. You know, let me go back and retroactively say you're right. And what I'm referring to is, about midway through the season, we had this conversation about the most improved player. And while I do obviously, for those same reasons, think that Laurie is probably a good candidate, the most improved player this year has been Shea. Without
right.
So Cam's got to do this then.
That's sees the opening, nearly turns it over. He does. Here comes the run out for SGA on the drive inside. Gets it. At the horn and the foul to boot.
And he fits in with the way that they've been giving the award out, which is person who becomes a all-NBA caliber talent. Well, you know, that was Ja last year, and I feel like it's going to be. Do the odds reflect that? This is honestly the first time I've.
It's gone back and forth. I think Shea is the leader right now, but like it was Laurie for a while, and they kind of hopped back and forth.
I mean, Laurie makes sense because he like was much worse than Shea was last year, right?
He was pretty good last year, but it was a throwaway year because, you know, he basically
got it.
I don't want to say they gave up on him. They decided to move on in Chicago. They dumped him, you know, to Cleveland. He has that year where, you know, he still looks pretty good, but we didn't anticipate this. And in particular, when they made the trade, it was, okay, well, Laurie might put up, you know, 20-point nights, but they're not going to be in most of these games. And they've been right there, like, all throughout.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, Shea wasn't getting dumped in a trade last year.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, whereas Laurie, they were like, yeah, well, you know. We know what we have with this young man. Turns out not. I'm getting people ready for the return of Miles Gray. This young man. The Grizzlies are maybe putting some things back together. Had seven players in double figures, led by Jaren Jackson's 31, Desmond Bane's 26 in a win over the Warriors. They're tough, man. They're really like mentally. Yeah.
Just when I'm ready to write them off, they say, okay, guess what?
Yeah. They've won five of six. Yeah. Coming close to catching the Kings, both of them are coming close to catching the Nuggets. Denver's been seven games out in front, I feel like, for the past few months.
6 months.
Yeah. Nobody's going to catch the Nuggets. I think they're winning again, but, they're four up in the West, and their point differential, like they used to have a leading point differential, I feel like, and now that's kind of falling back to earth.
I think we should probably have a Nuggets fan or person on over the next month or so.
Why would we do that?
Specifically because I watch Nuggets games and I watch the action, but you know how it's a little bit different when it's your squad. I, for the life of me, can't figure out. When it was a week, I was like, okay, teams go through that. Then it was 2 weeks. And it's realistically been the best.
Oh, so you want to have them on and be like, what's wrong with you
guys? What's wrong with you guys? Why do you suck? Like,
after they've had the best season in the history of their franchise.
Yeah, basically. Be like,
all right, you can come on now. What's going on, guys? You don't look as good as you used to. You feeling all right?
Explain yourself.
I still think they're probably doing the thing that every team seems to do, other than like the Sixers seem to just be trying to power through to the end of the season right now. But Jokic doesn't care about the MVP race. I think he cares about, preparing for the postseason. There might be some resting going on, and they do seem pretty comfortable with a 4-game lead over Sacramento and Memphis. But Memphis, it's good to have you back, buddy.
Absolutely.
And then Dame, I just want to talk about this stat that you pulled. So first player since Kobe in 05-06 to have scoring games of 30-plus, 40-plus, 50-plus, 60-plus, and 70-plus. This man is locked in.
He's a legendary scorer. I mean, it hasn't led to much, to any wins, really. especially in the second half of this season. But Dame is, I don't know where he's going to go down in the all-time, everybody has a different top 50 or whatever the case may be, but Dame is going to be one of the greatest scorers especially at the guard position that the game has ever seen, it's all said and done. And You know what? A lot of people will, make light of the fact that he hasn't asked for a move and, wants to stick around. At the end of the day, it is still going to be pretty damn impressive when you look at all of the accomplishments that he ends up with, regardless of whether he wins a title.
Yeah, did we ever talk about that thing he said in the, I think it was on a podcast to JJ Redick, where he was just like, yeah, man, when I'm done playing basketball, I just go home and like play with my kids and enjoy my life. Which I thought was pretty cool and pretty refreshing. I think most players, whether it's true or not, are just too scared to say that because fans tend to deify these players who were like, he was so mentally off that all he cared about was losing. And it was emotionally devastating to him. And it's like, yeah, or you could like have a good life and be happy and put up 60 and 70 in multiple games.
I think that definitely helps his cause. The fact that you don't look at Dame and say like, oh, he doesn't seem like he's giving it his all. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when he is
never
out there. So
never.
If anything, it's goals, like to have that sort of balance, life balance to be able to, give it your all, when you're there. And obviously, when you're training in preparation for it, but also be like, let's go make pancakes, kids. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So it's time to go with our NBA broadcast call of the week. Nuggets home call on this putback dunk. Let's roll it.
Easy shot. Jokic on the move. Puts it up. Oh, and Porter rocks the Casbah.
Joker put his hand, but it was from Porter.
Michael Porter Jr. Dunking it with his hand like parallel to his face, like up so high, which is always fun. People forget how tall he is, or I forget how tall he is.
He's 6'10".
He's 6'10" and just has a wet shot. So that was pretty cool. It was off a Jokic miss, I'm just saying.
He also dunked over Jokic's back.
Yeah, he got posterized by his own teammate. And then the tweet of the week, we got to give it to King Josiah, son of this week's guest. Response to Austin Reeves scoring a career high, utilizing Peter Weber's epic, "Who do you think you are? I am" celebration, which is what I'm thinking most of the day. If you just like saw what was going on inside my head, it is this celebration. So
it's one of the greatest sports celebrations of all time. And I absolutely mean that. I'm not being hyperbolic. It's one of the greats, especially because I don't know if it completely makes sense, but we know what he means.
And no, also, it doesn't make any sense.
The way he delivers it is just perfect. Just perfect.
Yeah. So what a blast.
Absolutely.
And then our Boosties listener of the week was Aaron Ann Mixey, who is super excited about Mikal Bridges having the opportunity as a top option offensively. Hey, Aaron Ann, you and all of us, we're psyched about this.
She was actually seemingly feeling guilty that she says, "I guess now I'm a Nets fan too." And I'm just going to say this for the record. While I may have been a hardline, no, you have to have one team, fan in the past, the Lakers are my team, but I've got several other teams that because a former Lakers are playing on them, or I just picked them up. I've got a bunch of teams that I can appreciate. And I think that's probably a healthier approach to NBA fandom.
Yeah. It's like having a rescue dog, a rescue team. That's a thing that I am hardline. I think the whole thing of like, you can't just adopt the town, your new team. I mean, growing up and rooting for whatever team my dad was coaching obviously prepared me to just switch teams with the people I value. But like, I've really enjoyed the NBA, just following LeBron around and rooting for whoever he's playing for, assuming it's not playing against a team my dad was coaching. And, just being a free agent and just appreciating what is super exciting about the league. So I highly recommend it if you're feeling because of some other famous sports guy podcasts that you're not allowed to switch teams, or it's a safe space here at Miles and Jack got Matt Boosties. So you're always free to switch teams. I'd actually be interested to hear from Boosties listeners, like who feel beholden to this. Like, what are some teams that have tempted them where they're like, oh man, I wish I could root for that team. They look so good. Like the Miami Heat.
Looks fun to root for that team.
I rooted for LeBron when he was there, but I still respect what they do. I still love Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler. Like what they do is super cool. It just, my heart does not feel, I can't make myself a Heat fan, but I respect it. It must be a fun ride to be a Heat fan.
All right, I'm going to just throw this out there before we go. We're 5 years down the road and Joel Embiid is in a Miami Heat jersey. Can you allow yourself then?
Totally, easily. I'd do it.
I thought so.
If he switched teams tomorrow, I'd do it. Like
trying to give,
I'm not. Yeah, like runway. That's the thing. I feel like Sixers fans probably have the wrong idea about me, that I'm like this dyed in the wool Sixers fan. Like, I am a Sixers fan because that's who I was rooting for, and then my dad retired, but I was rooting for them like from Embiid's rookie year, and so. But I'm a mercenary. I'm a mercenary fan out here, and
we're all free agents.
Does make me, I still have whatever that unhealthy fandom is, where I feel physically ill when they don't do well. So I got that part, but I'm in no way like, long term cursed to be with a team, which is a nice luxury I have.
It is.
All right. Well, we did it. We made it a year.
We did, Jabari,
thank you so much for everything you've done, man. Jabari, one of the true great producers out there doing it. One of the great NBA minds. Appreciate you. Appreciate you guys for listening to the podcast for a year and telling your friends about it. And that's going to do it. We're going to be back for year two next week, or at least some of us will be. But yeah, we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.